Scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Acts 16, 4 and 5. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily.
We just sang about time, tomorrow, and what a great song that is. Today is a very special day when it comes to time. I don't know if you're familiar with the word palindrome. Probably you are. It is a word that is the same whether you look at it forward or backward, like mom, like dad. Doesn't matter which way you turn it, it's still the same word. Well, today is a palindrome of dates, because this is the year 2020, and if you turn that around, that's today, 0202. And they say that's the only time it's going to happen for a long time, and here we are. We get to experience that. Isn't that exciting? Well, maybe not, but it is a super day regardless, right? And it is super because it is the Lord's Day. His people are gathered together to give praise and worship to God. And we're glad you are here. We hope you'll be back with us again this evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to meet again and worship God then as well. And so I hope you'll come out and join us then as well. But we're glad you're with us. If you're visiting with us, and I know we have visitors, welcome. And if you don't have to rush off, give us a moment to meet you. And if we can help with anything, we'd love to do that. But we are glad you are here. And it's good to see all of our regulars, as well as all of our guests. So glad you're with us. Let's get our Bibles out now and let's get into the Word of God. We're going to study some things that will help us in our daily lives, I know, because it is in the Word of God. Let's imagine a scenario where the wife tells the husband, we're out of eggs. There's no more eggs. And so he says, well, I'll go get some. That's not his normal job, but he says, I'll go get some eggs. And he comes back a while later and he says, I went to the factory where they produce egg cartons, and every carton there was empty. They had no eggs, and so I don't have any. And you can imagine what the wife might have said if she was a common sense person. And we would say, well, that's not where you go to get the eggs. You go to the hen house. Or for most of us, a grocery store, I guess. But to go to the egg carton factory expecting to find eggs, no, that's not going to happen. You go to the matrix. Now, the word matrix may not be very familiar to you. There was a movie by that name, and it is kind of a techie name, I guess, now, a word. But the idea is this, according to the dictionary, it is a place where something from which something else originates. And like the egg, where do you go to get an egg? You go to a hen that lays the egg. Where do you go to get an education? Well, some of us would say you go to the school, you go to the university, the college. That's where education is produced, in theory at least. And that's the idea of matrix. If we're looking for something, then let's go to where it ought to be found, where it originates. In 2020, we are talking about the theme, believe. That is a very powerful idea in the Word of God. It is something that every one of us as Christians are called to do, and not just Christians, non-believers as well. But where do we get that? Where is the matrix of faith? And as we pointed out last month, that word faith and the word believe, in English, they're two different words, but in the original language of the New Testament, they come from the same root. So if I want to believe, then where do I go? Where is the matrix of faith? And these are not complicated ideas, even though the name may sound like it. Let's see what the Word of God says about where faith is to be found. First of all, let's talk about the idea that faith is formed by receiving God's Word. Faith is formed by receiving God's Word. Let me give you an example from long ago that shows this idea, and that's found in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Here the writer is talking about how many that left Egypt in search of that promised land were not allowed to go into the promised land. And what was the problem? Well, let's read about it in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. They were not united by faith. Let me read it to you in the New King James Version, and it gives a little bit of a different perspective. And there it says, the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the idea is, they heard the promise of God. Moses and Aaron came down to Egypt and said, God is going to deliver you. He's going to lead you out of this place and give you your own land. But the problem was, many of them did not believe that God could do that. And when it came time to actually go in and take the land, they said, no, we can't do that. They're too big. They're too strong. We can't possibly do that. They didn't have faith. They heard the good news, but they didn't have faith. And did you notice there, the writer said at the beginning of that verse, good news came to us just as to them. So he's making the connection there. We have something in common with them, and that is we hear good news. God has given us the promise of a great land. We call it heaven, but do we have faith? And if we don't have faith, it's just as if we didn't even hear the message, because it won't do us any good if we don't believe. Well, let's go on and look at some other passages that talk about this idea of faith being formed by receiving the Word of God. Look at Romans 10:17, a very familiar passage to many of us, and yet let's think about it again. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and this talks about the matrix of faith, where faith is formed. Paul says faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And there it is. That's the big idea, and that is, if I really want to believe, if I really want to have faith that will please God, it is imperative that I come to the Bible and read it and hear it. And if I don't, I'm not going to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And that in itself challenges us, doesn't it? Because it makes us ask ourselves, if we're honest about this, if we're serious about it, do I go to the Word of God regularly? Do I take time out of my schedule and make sure that I'm coming to the Word of God to hear what the Lord has said? And if not, why do I expect to have faith? Why do I even expect to have it if I'm not going to the Word of God? It reminds me of Psalm 1, that beautiful opening psalm in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, he talks about choices we could make, but how foolish those would be, and then the choice. Listen to what he says in Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Those people are going to lead you astray. That's the idea. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You see, there's somebody that really loves the Bible, that loves the messages, the lessons that we learn from it. And as a result, verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now he goes on to talk about those that don't take time for the Word of God and how they're like the chaff that is blown away. They're not going to remain. But he says again, the idea that you need to spend time in the Word of God and not just reading it, meditating on it, really pondering it and seeing, how does this apply to my life? What benefit will this give me if I follow it? That's the idea of spending time in the Word of God. Timothy is one of those characters in the Bible that we admire. He was a faithful co-laborer with Paul. How did he get his faith? Well, we know he had faith as we read 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at that with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul makes this statement. I am reminded of your sincere faith. I want the Lord to see that in me. I don't want him to see that it is just a pretense or a shell of faith. I want to hear something like this. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And so there Paul says, I know you're a man of faith, and I also know that your grandmother was, your mother was. How did Paul get his faith, or Timothy, how did he get his faith? Was it genetic? He mentioned his mother, his grandmother. It might have been like, you know, I see your brown eyes, and I know your grandmother had them, and I know your mother has them. Is that it? Go to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and now Paul makes it a little clearer how Timothy got his faith through these women. Listen to what it says, 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so there's the idea, is that we learn from others. Timothy learned from his grandmother and from his mother. From a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. And that's how it's going to happen with us. Now, we might not have had that opportunity as children, but we have it now. Right here we are looking into the Word of God. We are hearing what the Word of God says. And now our challenge is to say, do I believe that? Am I willing to accept what the Lord says and follow what He says? That is the matrix of faith. In Acts chapter 16, the passage that Paul read for us earlier, Acts chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, Luke had just told us about how they had been to Jerusalem. There was a big controversy. Do we allow Gentiles to come into the church? I mean, we heard that Peter was over there. Paul is out there making converts. Are we going to let this happen? And now that Paul is there telling about his experiences and all of that, the apostles and the elders say, yes, this is the will of God. God wants Gentiles to come into the church just as he wants the Jews to come into the church. Look again at Acts 16 now. And he's talking about going into Gentile territory with a message. It says, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Now, what's going on there? Paul and the others are taking with them a message, an inspired message from God that says, Gentiles are welcome. Come on in to the kingdom of God. And as a result of hearing that message, their faith is strengthened. You see, again, the connection between having strong, growing, vibrant faith and reading and hearing the Word of God, it is hard to miss if you read the Bible. And then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, just in case we missed it earlier, Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, Paul says this about the link between hearing the Word of God and faith. He says in Romans 10, 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And when he says there, how can they believe if they don't hear? Well, that's why we're told to go into all the world preaching the gospel. Because people need to hear this life-giving Word of God. And it doesn't stop when we become Christians. It is a continual thing that we hear the Word of God because our faith needs to grow. That's why Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And again, I know you've heard this many times. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And the image is clear. I mean, we hear it happening here in our auditorium sometimes in worship. A child says, well, I'm hungry. I'm going to let somebody know. And they don't stop until the bottle is put in their mouth. That's how we ought to be. We ought to demand, tell us more about the Bible. Give me the Bible. Let me read it for myself. I need this life-giving food. That's how my faith grows. That is the matrix of faith. And without reading and hearing the Word of God on a regular basis, why do we expect our faith to be solid and healthy and strong? There's that connection very clearly in the Word of God. But let's talk about another matrix. It really is just a continuation of what we've already talked about. But the second idea is that faith is formed by active discipleship. Faith is formed by active discipleship. Let's think of it this way. There are thousands, probably tens, hundreds of thousands of books on cooking, right? I mean, anywhere you go, you can probably find a cookbook. And so if I read enough books, then I'm going to be a good cook, right? Well, I may understand some things, but at some point I've actually got to start using what I've learned. I've got to cook if I want to become a good cook, I think, right? I mean, I've not actually tried that, but I think that's the way it works. And so the idea is, let's put into practice what we find in the Word of God. And that is very much an idea you find again in Scripture. John chapter 8, verse 31. This is Jesus talking to us. John chapter 8, verse 31. Hear what he says. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." If you abide in my word. Now what does that mean? Most of us understand the word abide means to live in, to make that our regular habit, our regular place where we go. What does it just mean that we bury our head in the Bible and that's where we spend all of our time? No, that's not what Jesus means, because he elsewhere tells us to get out among people and help them to come to know God's will. And so what he's saying there is, let that word abide in you. Live that word. Don't just read about it, but live it. Be the shining light that God means for you to be. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read about some Christians that were doing just that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verses 3 and 4 and see what the Lord says here to us. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 3. "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring." Now, let's break this down. What does that mean? How is it that their faith was growing abundantly? Well, he says that you are enduring afflictions. You're going through these hard times. Now, they didn't have to. They could have said, "Now, wait a minute. I know I said I was a Christian, but now that I see the heat is getting turned up, I'm out of here. I'm giving it up. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore." And their lives would have returned to ease and comfort. But the fact that they are being persecuted and accepting that shows they are living the life. And that's why their faith is growing abundantly, and their love for one another. They are living what they hear in Scripture. And again, that's the matrix of faith that we're trying to understand. Let's go now to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and look in verses 19 through 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, we're reading now about Abraham. We hear him referred to as the great example of faith, and he is. Listen to what Paul says about Abraham in Romans 4, beginning in verse 19. he did not weaken in faith. Oh, again, that's my goal, is to never weaken when my faith needs to be strong. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Now, he's talking about when God gave him that promise, you're going to have a son. Well, he had made that promise 25 years earlier, and nothing had happened. And every day he gets older, and the likelihood of him, a physical man, fathering a child, gets dimmer and dimmer. And his wife, she's not as old as him. She's 10 years younger, but 90? She will be 90 when she has the child. And yet, look at what he says there. His faith did not weaken. He did not weaken in his faith. And then in verse 20, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And we look at that and we say, amazing. What amazing faith Abraham had. Because worldly wisdom says, you're about 60 years out of being able to have a child, Abraham. Forget about it. Not going to happen. But this is God talking to me. God is the one that's making the promise. My faith will not weaken. It will grow stronger because I hear his promise and I'm living the way he tells me to live. That's why Abraham's faith endured, because he walked with God. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, there's this aspect of living our faith, and that is we don't live it in isolation. We were never meant to be loners. Remember how God looked at Adam and said, it is not good that he should be alone. I'm going to make him a helper fit for him. Well, that was talking about marriage. Now we're talking about fellowship. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verses 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The body builds itself up. Now, we don't have to demonstrate this, I trust, but if you somehow remove part of your body, which I don't recommend, if it is part of your physical body, then don't remove it, because it will then stop growing. It will die. And that's the picture of the church. That's the picture of us who are members of that church. We are parts of the body. And if I deliberately separate myself and say, you know what, I don't really need them, I have my faith with God, that's enough. You're going against what the New Testament teaches us. The New Testament says that's where faith grows stronger. As we gather together, as we serve together, as we encourage one another, that is where faith grows stronger. And we need that on a regular basis. And so discipleship means many things, but one thing is essential, and that is fellowship, a connection to the body. We need to look for those opportunities and use those opportunities, because that's how our faith is going to grow. And without it, what will happen to our faith? One other passage, and that's in James chapter 2, verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. Here James is talking about the idea of works. But what James means by works is not the same that Paul means by works in some of the places he writes about it. Here, James is talking about obeying the Lord. Whatever the Lord calls us to do, whatever he asks us to do, what are you going to do? Well, James makes this statement in James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. What's going to happen to your faith if you don't obey the Lord? As the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. That's an inspired writer telling us, let's follow the Lord. Let's live our faith. It's wonderful that you're here listening to the Word of God. We rejoice in that fact. But what happens when you walk out of this building? When you go to work tomorrow? When you sit down with friends this evening for some kind of social event? I don't know what you might be doing this evening. But what happens then? Does our faith still kick in and operate? The matrix of faith is hearing the Word of God and then living the Word of God. And this morning we ask very simply, have you obeyed the Lord? You've heard the gospel today. You've heard a little bit of it. You've heard it numerous times. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And if you believe it, do you believe it so strongly that you'd be willing to turn away from anything God tells you is a sin? That's called repentance. And if you do that, are you willing to stand up and confess Him before others? Confess your faith that He is the Son of God? And would you believe enough that you would obey the command of Jesus? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. The command of Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Are you willing to do that this morning? And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Have you been continuing in your walk of faith? Do you need to repent? Pray for forgiveness? If we can help, come as we stand and sing.